I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Visit mtnbusiness.co.za to learn about their products and solutions. And we thank them for partnering with Tech Central to bring you these great interviews. Now, my guests today work in the investment community, and our subject today is a very interesting one, the investment case around Cell C and Blue Label Telecoms. My guests are Dylan Bradford. Dylan is a portfolio manager at ShareNet, and he's joined by Philip Short, who is global portfolio manager at Flagship Asset Management. Both men have had a close look at both Cell C and Blue Label. And in fact, I think, Philip, you've done a very deep dive on Blue Label a few years ago, so you know this business very well. I think we must start the conversation, though, with some disclosures. Philip, maybe I can start with you. Your business has quite a big exposure to Blue Label, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it's the only South African stock that we have in our funds, in our global funds. And it started off small at a 2.5% position, and it's now at about an 8% position, and that's just grown organically. We got in at around R2.90 per share, with it now being 10 rand. So it's grown to be our largest position organically.
Okay. And what drew you to Blue Label in the first place, given that all your other investments are offshore?
I used to be a tech analyst in my young days as an analyst, and it's just one of the companies that I was close to, and then I just saw it was getting a lot of hate, and the share price had plummeted, and then I saw an opportunity post the recap, and then the tie-up with Capitec Connect as the driver of earnings for Cell C.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to talk a bit about the Capitec arrangement a bit later in this discussion. But Dylan, let me bring you in here. What is your interest in Blue Label?
Hi, thanks, Duncan. Well, we run a lot of private client accounts. I would say across our mandate, we own about 5% of Blue Label in the issuance. I run a small fund called the ShareNet Local a fund that we own about, in my position, about 15% of my portfolio in the in its entirety. And similar to Phil, I've also been a bottom dip buyer and just been adding all the way across as the news has improved situation with the MVNOs getting a bit more runway and leeway. Just a bit more clarity on where the company is and where it's going.
Very briefly, I think most South Africans know the name ShareNet, but maybe just a quick elevator pitch. What do you guys do again?
Yes, so we were the first JSE share provider in the market. Been around for about 40 years. That was the securities business. It's migrated now into the wealth as well. So I think across the board, we have about 8 billion rand under management, on our books. We provide a broking service as well as a full wealth service offering.
And Flagship, Philip, tell us a bit about Flagship.
Yeah, so we started in 2001 as a global specialist investment firm. So we started first globally, and I manage, along with JD Hayward, a global equity and a global flexible fund. So that's pretty much our focus.
So regular Tech Central readers will know that Blue Label last week announced a big internal restructuring that will, in part, and I quote, assist in facilitating a separation and potential future listing of Cell C. And that lit a fire under Blue Label's share price, which rose from 8 rand something to over 10 rand a share, where it's currently trading. And I wanted to go and have a look, but I think it's the first time in about 7 or possibly 8 years that Blue Label has traded above 10 rand a share, and I think shareholders of this company have been long suffering for many years may finally starting to see a return on their investment. Philip, let me start with you. You've been quite bullish on the prospects for Blue Label and for Cell C for some time, and you've done a deep dive to back up that assertion. If you don't mind, maybe give us an overview of your view of these two intertwined companies and what you make of last week's news announcement.
Great. Yeah, great question. So I think if we look at post the recap, the recap in September, October 2022, what that resulted in was Blue Label holding 63% economic interest in Cell C and being owner or holder of 75% of Cell C's debt. what they've done in the last 6 months, very, very cleverly, they have increased their debt and equity holding in CellC through purchases from Gramercy and Dark Fiber Africa. There were two sends, or two separate sends on those, which took them up to 80% economic interest holding and 90% holders of the debt. Now, here is the clever masterstroke up to now, is that they basically own the debt that they owe to themselves. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they own over 80% of the equity in CellC, and CellC owes Blue Label $3.5 billion. So either from consolidating the businesses, or what they've done in a much cleaner way, which we see from yesterday's sends, that debt's now being cleared. So what did yesterday's or last week's sends tell us? It said that there's a $1.2 billion airtime facility that was part of the recap that's going to get sort of given that CellC is going to buy back. CellC is going to buy back its own airtime that Blue held with CellC shares. So Blue's going to get even more equity in CellC. Then they're also going to buy CEC, Communication Equipment Company, from Blue Label with CellC shares. So that's going to take the holding even further. So we're looking at Blue probably holding about 95% equity in CellC. So, and then the third item, they said that they're going to do a debt for equity swap. So that's the cleaner version I'm talking about. And now that basically eliminates all the debt on CellC's balance sheet. Prior to this, CellC was technically insolvent. The removal of the debt and some of the other things that they've done, it's now technically solvent. So, and the clever thing is that in H1, up to November last year, CellC did $780 million EBITDA. They're on track to do a full year, 25 March, May, EBITDA of just under $2 billion. Now, CEC makes about EBITDA of about $500 million. So now you've got a business that does $2.5 billion Rand EBITDA. And they should do another 500 EBITDA by 2026. And we have to look at 2026, because if that's going to be listing, it's going to be going into the end of this year, early next year. So that's a 3 billion Rand EBITDA business that is going to be paying no interest, because it's now got no more debt. And it's not going to be paying tax for the next 10 years because of its 28 billion Rand accumulated tax loss. So you've got maybe a depreciation charge sitting somewhere there between EBITDA and net profit. So you're sitting at a net profit business of about 2.5 to 2.7 billion Rand. And if you put that on a 10 PE, why not a 10 PE? Because it's got no debt. It's got no tax for the foreseeable future. It is going to be one of the fastest growing companies on the JSE. A 10 PE sounds quite conservative to me. So that puts you at a 25 to 27 billion Rand market cap company. And Blue Label is currently trading at 10 billion. So CellC doesn't contribute any cents or rands to Blue Label's current bottom line. Mm-hmm. So taking away CellC doesn't take anything away from Blue Label. So then you've still got Blue Label, which is worth how much? So let's say, for example, Blue Label is on track to make 90 cents per share without CellC. We have to remove CEC from this, which is about 500 million EBITDA. But with the proceeds of this listing, they're going to clean up their own balance sheet. And currently, they're paying 500 million Rand in interest charges a year. So you take that away, that compensates away for the CEC that you'll be removing back. So you're looking at a business that will have no debt, and this is Blue Label now, that will make 90 cents to 100 cents per share, and it will also start paying dividends. So you've got 10 Rand Blue Label, about 27 Rand CellC. I think in a year's time, this trades over 30 to 37 Rand a share. Both companies will be paying dividends. You can chat later about how much those dividends are, but you can see why one can get excited about a share that's already done so much, but only trading at 10 Rand when it's worth about 30 Rand.
Yeah. So do you think once CellC is listed, it might be even a more attractive investment opportunity than some of the other telco stocks on the JSE?
From my point of view, yes, definitely. The reason being as follows. One, it's a flat market, mobile networks or flat market in SA, very saturated, but it's taking share via its MVNO strategies, Capitec, FNB, ShopRite. It's taking share. So you've got good line of sight in terms of growth. Number two, it's growing its margins. MVNO margins are about 45%, and you're currently sitting at a 20% margin business in Cell C. So they're growing top line, high single digits. They're growing margins. Margins will be growing from 20 to 25% over the next 3 to 5 years. So you're getting a very strong EPS growth. They'll be paying a dividend. They have no debt, where Telkom, Vodacom, MTN all have debt. And they are pure SA play. There's no funny currencies from Nigeria, Ethiopia, and you've got an extremely strong management team. So you would have noticed that since George Mendes joined, and he was head of commercial at Vodacom, 6 out of the 11 ExCo members are Vodacom. And they obviously see the fortunes that are to be made at Cell C, which is why they've left Vodacom for Cell C. So I think it is a much cleaner play with growth. It's going to have higher growth than any of the other telcos, and it's a strong dividend.
It's been a long journey to get to this point, of course. I forget when exactly Blue Label first bought Cell C. I think it must have been about 8 to 9 years ago now. Dylan, are you? I mean, Blue Label was very heavily criticised at the time for making this investment, and then subsequently writing down its carrying value to zero. Are you as bullish as Philip? Do you think that this thing is a turnaround story now, and there's an opportunity here for investors?
Yeah, I think the timing is it's perfect. You know, you wouldn't be going to an IPO if you didn't know internally what was happening within your own company. So, you know, the rate of change within the business, as Phil's alluded to, is there. It's coming fast. We've seen some of the articles depicting the benefit that Capitec Connect has had within its own business, and that must be flowing through to Cell C as their main, you know, underpinning in the SIMs side of business. Naturally, they want to progress into other markets. You know, postpaid markets, obviously, ripe for the taking. There's been a lot of disruption. You know, so I think, you know, Cell C, Blue, they've been the dog that's been hated. They've just gotten on with what they do well. They've clearly monetizing where they need to, and they're clearly executing with the team that Phil's addressed. You know, and the valuation still screens very cheap to us, and we've been marginal buyers. So, yes, so we think that there's tremendous upside still to come.
Okay. Lots of upside, but Philip, is there any downside to this business? You know, it's an asset-light approach now. It doesn't have its own radio access network. It's leaning on the networks of Vodacom and MTN, which is maybe a little bit risky, given that these are also your direct competitors. Are there any downsides, any risks associated with the Blue Label Cell C turnaround story?
Yeah, I think so. Important to bear in mind that Cell C is MTN South Africa's biggest client, and Vodacom is also Vodacom's biggest client. So, and they're now roaming off both Vodacom and MTN. So I think both MTN and Vodacom are likely pitching to Cell C on a regular basis to move all their business to one of the operators on its own. But yes, I think you need to make sure that your roaming contracts are watertight. I think from a legal point of view, if you've got that covered, then you're sorted. They've got their own spectrum, so regardless of, you know, if you look at Rain, for example, Rain's in a much less favorable position than Cell C, and they still wanted, you know, they're still being courted quite regularly, or, you know, with the relationship that they have with Vodacom. So the main thing is spectrum, which they have, and yeah, as I say, I think the main thing is just to have that the legal framework tied up nicely with your roaming partners. Mm.
Let's talk about MVNOs, and let's spend a bit of time on this because it is a key part of Cell C's and Blue Label's strategy. Capitec is obviously the biggest, has emerged in a very short space of time as the biggest MVNO in South Africa, and they've very much, we had Dr. Dalian Steyn, the head of Capitec Connect, on our show yesterday. We'll be publishing that probably around the same time that this this episode goes out, but they certainly seem to be doing something right. Dylan, MVNOs, how key is this to Cell C's future growth?
Yeah, I think from the last two sets of results, it's been one of their mainstays. I think they used the word significant growth numerous times already. I think that not just Capitec, but all other main retailers are going to be vying for clients to house them within their own ecosystems, whether it be for wallets or for their own internal sales, whatever crossovers that may be. data and offering of data at a price point that is lower than most market-related points is a very unique way to attract and hold on to a client or group of clients, consumers. I think the main takeaway, if we speak to anyone from Capitec, you'll understand the idea that once you see and understand your consumer, you know what to sell to that consumer. And that becomes a data game. So for them, it's about understanding the data components, whether you're male, female, what you spend, what you watch, how many times you watch it, what websites you channel, funnel through. All those things become relative to them. They then know how to market to them correctly, what type of phone they're looking at, what type of clothing or what type of loan they may need, insurance, so forth and so on. It becomes such a big microsystem for within these banks. And as Phil will tell you, it's quite clear that the banks are encroaching on the telecom space and the telecoms are trying to encroach on the bank space. So it is a race to attract those clients and maintain those clients. And if you can offer them everything within one, one-stop shop, the MVNOs have just proven that has worked time and time again. The fact that you've got FNB rolling out quite aggressively, ShopRite coming into the market, the space will be very disruptive, very competitive. I think the big telcos will have to stand up and take notice because the landscape is changing aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Philip, there are, all the operators now, maybe with the exception of Rain, are offering, certainly all the mobile operators are offering MVNO services. Vodacom has got into the space. They've only signed one client so far, Mr. Price, and I think that's shared with Cell C, if I'm not mistaken. Telkom has launched a platform, although I don't think they've got any customers on it yet. And of course, there's MTN, which has been probably after Cell C the most aggressive in the MVN enablement space. Cell C doesn't have this market to itself anymore. Are we going to see wholesale pricing pressure? What does it mean for the future of the MVNO business at Cell C?
Yeah, I think to put into context, and Cell C is in a good position only because they starting from the smaller third network or fourth network. Mm-hmm. So if the moment MTN, let's say MTN has a subscriber on its current base and they make 100 Rand off that subscriber, the moment they offer an MVNO offering to that, they have to take a price cut. So they need to they will be cannibalizing their own markets if Vodacom and MTN do so. So Cell C is because they are so small in the MNO space, they're not cannibalizing themselves really. So that's the advantage of being small is in this space. And I think ICASA said that Vodacom and MTN must offer at least one MVNO or two MVNOs, and that's why they've done it. So that's why they've done it. It's not because it's attractive from their point of view. And the incumbents, that's unfortunately the position with incumbents is that you've got something to lose. And it's also one of the reasons why Capitec has chosen Cell C is because they want to be disruptors. Now, if you join MTN and Vodacom, which are the two incumbents, they're not going to allow you to disrupt them. So they get to grow with Cell C in a market together. So that was the fortunate tie-up scenario for the two.
Yeah. I was quite intrigued in my interview with Darlene Steyn. I asked her, what is your motivation behind launching Capitec Connect? And what are your key performance indicators here? And it was simple. We want to take market share from the MNOs.
Yeah. And if you read TJ Stratton's book on Capitec's Talking Giants, it's a very good book. And he detailed there whenever Capitec enters a market, whatever the market is, they want to reach 30% before they then move on to something else. So their focus will be firmly on something like this to reach 30%. They're obviously extremely smart guys. And they know how consumers think. And just also what Dylan was saying, just expanding on, when I've spoken to Capitec as well a lot to do my own research I'm investing in Blue into Cell C, and they expect to make a lot more money from better lending as a bank to their clients who will become cell phone subscribers, getting to know their behavior, their spending behavior. they'll be making a lot more money by saving on bad credit than what they will be making on profit from the cell phone operation. So they don't think about, they don't care really too much about making money from this, but it is about market share and it's about getting data from their clients who are subscribers.
I forget if it was at the last set of Blue Label results or the one before that, but I asked a question of Brett Levy, the co-CEO of Blue Label, regarding CelC shareholding. And he said, I can't remember the exact way I phrased the question, but he said that Blue Label and CelC are in discussions about potentially introducing a strategic equity partner into CelC. He didn't want to say much more than that. I had a chat with George Mendes I think a week or two back and asked him this question about a strategic equity partner, and he demurred and clearly didn't want to answer the question. But do you think that Capitec might make a good shareholder for CelC?
I think so. I think they definitely would have wanted to have owned the whole IP and the whole operation, quite possibly. Yeah.
Mm. What do you think, Dylan? Would it make sense for Capitec to own a stake in CelC?
Yeah, I think they want to protect this this growth path. I think a strategic stake would probably make a lot of sense and align a lot of interests. Whether they do that now, later, or if this is also part of the greater scheme of things, I do remember Brett saying that CelC will have a big brother being echoed in one of his announcements. So how, what they have up their sleeve, I don't know. We're taking a step by step. We'll be very excited about the restructuring and realignment of the businesses going forward. And if that means that, bringing in a Capitec Connect, Capitec within a CelC share ownership, that's all the better for us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An interesting move, and maybe timed around the listing of CelC on the JSE. I wanted to chat a little bit about CEC as well, this Comm Equipment Company. This is a wholly owned subsidiary of Blue Label and houses CelC's postpaid or contract base. They're now in discussions about selling this business to CelC. Philip, what's your take on that? Do you think it makes sense?
Yeah, it's a very clever move. If you look at what CEC is, and that manages the postpaid business of CelC subscribers. So just like with any other telco, that should be sitting within the CelC as a telco. And what I really like about it is that you get to better utilize the tax loss that is sitting in CelC by moving it into that business. So let's say, that as that business is making profits, you can offset it with zero tax, given that tax assessed loss in CelC, which Blue doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And George Mendes has also said that CelC is now interested in going after the business market. I think they're going to start with sort of the SME segment, working through channel partners. But I think their ambition actually goes beyond that, to compete with the likes of Vodacom Business and MTN Business over time. They're certainly talking about launching enterprise services and going after that space. Do you think they're perhaps biting off more than they can chew at this stage, or does it make sense for them to pursue business services market at this juncture, Philip?
So I think the moment you've cleaned up the balance sheet on that business, they can do anything. They're making profit. Mm-hmm. They're making strong cash flow. Maybe just to touch on the cash flow, because I think as long as you're making money, sure. And you can get the right people. So I've got a feeling that once they list, they will attract even more excos from the likes of the MTN and Vodacoms. If you're looking at their asset light, so CapEx to sales for CelC, you're sitting at about 4%. And this is just money that they're spending on IT billing systems, 4%. MTN and Vodacom are sitting closer to the 15%. So you've got a free cash flow, as I mentioned. If we try to work out their free cash flow, I mentioned to you that FY26 May, they're going to have an EBITDA of about 3 billion, minus 600 million in IT capex, which is going to give you 2.4 billion free cash flow. So with that, you can pay out dividends, you can look at new avenues of growth, you can hire more talent, you can do more marketing. So I think the main thing is, as long as you got that balance sheet sorted out, you're generating a lot of cash. Why not? And you got to, like George, is a very he's a very sort of inspirational person. When you look at him, you get a really good idea of where the business is going and how he's going to execute on it. He's very clear on the details, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Philip's already touched on the potential valuation around SLC, Dylan. What are your thoughts on a potential listing valuation? And allied to that, we're assuming that SLC is a resurgent business and is going to start taking market share from other players in the market. Who's the potential biggest loser here?
Yeah, so just to reiterate what Phil said, just in regards to the income statement being reshaped a bit, with EBITDA trending back over the 2 billion mark and sitting closer to 3 billion at the end. If we're looking at Blue going to a 90-95% shareholding, that's a significant value if you put that on a 5x EV EBITDA multiple already for all Blue shareholders. I would say down the line, I suppose the biggest losers in the space would likely be Vodacom and Telkom from the stand sort of perspective. I think, we've already seen the brain drain from Vodacom coming across. I saw Vodacom's numbers this week. MTN's also struggling on the local market front. We've seen in the numbers recently, but seem to be having still growth offshore. But again, as Phil's alluded to, the pension funds might be looking for a pure play within the pension market that pays a dividend, a growing dividend, probably one of the highest dividend yields in the market, we suspect. And it won't be encumbered by any political risk outside in other countries, FX-related risks. Market cap is growing. It'll draw more attention. From the get-go, I would say pretty much all of them will probably be under a bit of pressure. I think the guys that are late to the MVNO party will be the biggest losers.
Interesting. Philip, of course, the Blue Label business is about a lot more than just Cell C, and you have done a deep dive on the whole business, looking at every aspect of it. What in that business, apart from Cell C, has got you excited and nervous for that matter?
So I'm always a glass half full person, so I'll start with the what's got me excited. So they mentioned on the last management call that prior to this mess that they got themselves initially into in 2017, when they did the first recap under the wrong deal lines, was that 45% of their earnings came from the treasury function. And I'll explain that to you now in more detail. But of late, the last 6-7 years, 0% has come from the treasury function. So what they used to do, what they were very good at doing, was they always had a very good balance sheet. And what they would do is they buy airtime from the MNOs, the mobile network operators, like MTN and Vodacom. They would pay, but they'd get 90 days to pay. But then they would sell that airtime, and then they would get that in cash. So then they'll be sitting on that cash for 90 days, and they'd earn, with the facility at Investec, they'd earn a great return. And so they'd be making twofold. One, by buying in bulk from MTN and Vodacom. So they would get a 10 to 15, I'm not sure exactly what that discount is, but they'd get that discount and then sell it straight away to the market at par value. So that's the one part of the treasury function. And then the second part is the 19-day negative working capital, where they're sitting on that cash for 90 days before they pay it over to Vodacom and MTN. So if they make 45% of their earnings from that, and we haven't seen any of that in the last 6-7 years, when they list Cell C, they'll be able to clean up their whole balance sheet, they'll be in net cash position, and they'll be able to generate this treasury function again. So there's a growth as a, sort of a self-care to grow that function again. Then the other one is electricity. So if they can get the electricity growing, the prepaid airtime, I think the Eskom is going to be forcibly putting in prepaid meters into people's homes so that they gain the payment of electricity so that the municipalities don't lose out any of that. So that's one good one. And I think they said in the last results that they're going to be hiring over 10,000 or people that they're going to be employing in the coming year or two. That they'll be training through the CETA programs that SA provides, and then they're going to get those people to then go sell into the informal markets. So those are the exciting parts. The what I worry about is that they stick to their knitting, and that we're not looking at that they're not just that the Blue execs are not distracted, because they are going to have a lot of money now. They're going to have the capacity to borrow again. They're going to have money coming in from the CLC listing. I think that they're going to feel very good about themselves, and rightfully so. And so I just really hope, because remember, they were in India with Oxygen, they were in Mexico, and those two environments didn't really work out. So if they can just stick to what they're doing, I think there's room for growth, for example, in the treasury function and electricity.
Mm-hmm. Don't go out and do any wild acquisitions like you did of CLC all those years ago.
Please, no.
Great. I think let's start to wrap it up there. Maybe some concluding thoughts from your side, Dylan. What do you see as the opportunity here? Are you excited about the non-CLC businesses inside Blue Label as you are about CLC? And what do you see as the opportunity here as someone who plays in the investment space?
Yeah, I would encourage any shareholder, would-be shareholder, to go and watch the last earnings report. Brett Levy spoke about the business as a whole and touched on what Phil's just mentioned now on the, they see two new growth opportunities within the Blue stable. The comment they made early was hiring up to 16,000 individuals, and that would be subsidized through the government, which is even better for the company, which you really want to hear about. When you're taking on a workforce base, which is almost three times your existing base, you don't want to scare your shareholders by increasing too many costs. So that was a clear takeaway of what they see and where they're going. And naturally, you know, that segment that they're delving into would be very earnings accretive. As they see forth, as they'll be, you know, laying out also part of the Blue Label distribution opportunities within all of those 16,000. So it wouldn't just be limited to the electricity side, it would be across all of their distribution points. So it really is exciting. I suppose if I had to touch on something that would make me nervous, or if I have to worry about, I guess like Phil delved into it a bit, you know, going into a market you're not sure about, crossing the water, going into Africa, those things all have, they've all shown to be false gold or false profits. We've seen with all the other ShopRites, Mr. Prices of the time, who went north into Africa. So I would be hesitant to, if they were looking to expand into Africa just yet. We do know that Capitec run a very tight operation, but also very close to New Holdings, which is South American orientated. They themselves too also just recently went into the MVNO space. So the trend right now is to get market share and look for opportunities within your own local market. And I think they've got a runway for a couple of years still to focus on. So, yeah, happy with them. Happy with that.
And, Philip, from your side, what are you looking for from the Blue Label and CLC management teams, say, leading up to the CLC listing? What would you like to see them communicating to the market? What would you like to see more of? What would you like to see them focusing their efforts on?
I'd like to them just to articulate exactly it is what they plan to do, and then the details around that. Timing on when they're going to list, maybe some the levers that they're going to pull outside of the MVNO space. So if you look at their last results, half of their growth came from MVNO. So the other parts of the business are also growing at CLC. I'd just like to get more detail on where those are. Is it fiber? Is it, as you say, business? And yes, and I mean, maybe just in a concluding thought, having chatted to the Levies over the years, you could see that they took an enormous amount of strain and stress, especially with the recap. I mean, they were so successful with that recap in getting bondholders to take 20 cents to the dollar. Yeah. But, admittedly, they made a huge error initially, but it looks like they're going to more than make up for that if my valuation numbers stack up. But if you look at, Gramercy, so they paid out par value for Gramercy's debt in November 2024. And they also bought Gramercy's 6% stake in CLC for 6 million rand. And you had people saying, oh, so we have to infer the value that 6% at 6 million means that the business is worth 100 million. You know, it's like such a, so I don't know. So, but that's the opportunities that I like to see. You know, so like I say, from a free cash flow multiple point of view, if you put it on 10 times, it's a 25 billion rand business. If you put it on a PE multiple of 10 times, it's a 25 million billion rand business. And he bought 6% for 6 million rand. So I think, yes, they made a mistake in 2017, but really good deal makers, and my hat's off to them.
Philip Short is a global portfolio manager at Flagship Asset Management, and Dylan Bradfield is portfolio manager at ShareNet. Thanks, guys, for a great discussion. This has been fascinating. Appreciate your time.